This Fab FM Voice of the Douglas Shire podcast is proudly brought to you by Bendigo Bank, Port Douglas and Mosman, offering a full range of competitive banking products and technology you'd expect from a big bank with the personal service and care you'd expect from us. Drop into your nearest branch at Port Village Shopping Centre or Front Street, Mosman. Bendigo Bank, the better big bank.
And of course, we talk about living in paradise. We tell our visitors, our tourists, you are in paradise. But either way, whatever you're doing here, maybe you've come to relax or you know, get away from all the usual hustle and bustle in the big cities. Or maybe you do live here. Well, do you sleep well? Let's find out a little bit more about sleep. Our medicine lady and resident GP have been in the Douglas Shire for many years now. That's Dr. Alex Bernhardy. Firstly, good afternoon.
Hello, Gary.
How are you doing?
I'm absolutely well, thank you.
Good night, Kip. Good
night. Absolutely. I slept exactly 8 hours.
Excellent stuff. Well, that's a very good question to start with, actually, because we're going to talk about sleep. And I was talking earlier about the fact, and one example I use, ex-Prime Minister of the UK, Margaret Thatcher. She said, I only need 4 hours sleep. And she had a fairly high-pressure job, but I guess she got a lot done because she was awake most of the time. But we'll talk about some of the in-depth things about sleep, the types of sleep there are, and what the effects if you don't get enough sleep. But, I mean, how much do you need?
So there is a rule that as an middle-aged adult, mm-hmm. you should get your 7 to 8 hours in average. There are some adults who can get away with 6 hours, and there are some who need a little bit longer, like 9 hours. It depends, as I said, on your age. Teenagers need a little bit more sleep, 8 to 10 hours in average. And just for comparison, a newborn baby would typically sleep 14 to 17 hours. So as we get older, we need a little bit less sleep.
So less sleep as you get older. That's interesting stuff. As an adult, thinking just purely as the adult category, would that apply? So say you're 25 as opposed to, say, 65. As you get older as an adult, again, you generally need that little bit less.
Yeah. If you become, okay. you know, like if you go into your 60s, 70s, 80s, you drop normally 1 hour of sleep.
Are there any particular times of the day where I hear about power naps? You know, they're apparently very good, although it doesn't work for me. But, I mean, are there particular times of the day that is good for sleep? Most of us sleep at night, of course, but what would you recommend?
Our body has an internal clock. It's a 24-hour internal clock, and in medical terms, you call it a circadian rhythm. Mm. So, and the circadian rhythm regulates our wake and our sleep times. It depends pretty much on, obviously, in which time zone of the world you are, which means that the sunlight is a major factor for that circadian rhythm. But it also depends on your individual routine, how your day is structured, how do you manage your work life, when do you have your meals. And then there's a little bit of an individual component in this rhythm as well. But as a rule, sleeping is there for the night when the light is off, when the sun has gone down. And it is also said, and there is a little bit of truth in it, that the sleep before midnight tends to be a little bit more restful than the sleep after midnight. And that is because of the different phases of sleep that we have.
Interesting, because I would have thought initially it would be the other way around. You know, you're a bit more restless, and then as you get into a deeper sleep through the night and as the night goes on. So talking about different types of sleep, and again, I've heard of, you know, rumour about the REM periods, and then there's the deep sleep, and there's different sort of things that your body's doing during those periods in terms of repair. But maybe you can clear that one up for us. I mean, you just mentioned there's different types at different periods of the night, which surprises me. But take us through a night and what we'd be going through.
I don't want to get too technical, but basically there are 5 stages of sleep, and they rotate sort of every 90 minutes. So we go into lighter sleep first, and then we come to stages where our body is completely paralyzed. And then we go through stages where we dream a lot.
Okay.
So, and these stages, they repeat itself in these 90-minute cycles.
So when we dream again, mm-hmm. obviously the brain is doing certain functions and unloading and downloading and those sort of things. But again, is that what you're saying? Is certain parts of the night we would tend not to have that sort of dream sleep, and certain times we would.
We have a little bit longer dream phases after midnight.
Interesting stuff. If people are struggling with their sleep, and I hear it a lot, you know, I've had a stressful day, life's not so good as it used to be, blah, blah, you know, all the regular reasons that we might not sleep. I mean, it must have a knock-on effect, but probably a bit of a vicious circle, because the less you sleep, the more stress you might be getting, which means you get less sleep. I could imagine, you know, a bit of a downward spiral, potentially.
Yeah, sleeping is not, as you would just think, resting where the body just doesn't do anything. But in fact, the body does do a lot of things that we are not aware of. And that's why sleep is so important. Let me tell you a couple of things that happen while you are sleeping in your different organs. One important one, and you mentioned the thing with stress and you know what has happened during the day, is that during sleep, the brain actually processes your emotions. So if you have had a really unsettling day and you go to bed, have your 8 hours, manage somehow to have your 8 hours, next morning you will see that lots of these emotions have lost a little bit of intensity. During night, also the body or your brain forms long-term memories. So if you experience something, but you don't get enough sleep, chances that you are not registering that in your long-term memory are pretty high. Another really important thing to mention is that what many people probably have told their children, that they need to go to bed because they are growing during the night, it's actually true. Ah. So the body releases the growth hormone during the night, and it literally makes the bones grow during the night. So that is not a myth, that is true. But on the more other medical sides, there's also the fact that during sleep your blood sugar levels in your body get sort of like a natural reset, which means that will help to not develop diabetes later. And probably a last one I want to mention is your immune system. And I think many people can relate to that. I'm sure you have experienced times where you didn't get enough sleep because you needed to work a lot or whatever. And you could be sure you catch every cold that lingers around. And that is because your immune system produces cytokines during your sleep. And cytokines are really important little particles in your body which help to fight infection and inflammation. So there's a lot going on while you sleep.
There is indeed, and that is pretty amazing. We'll take a little bit of music, and then maybe we can come back and have a little bit of a chat about some of the symptoms and some of the results of not getting enough sleep, and some of the causes that may, like the stress that we talked about, and other factors too. One of those I've noted is the good old smartphone, so I want to talk about that shortly. Our doc, our medicine lady, is in the studio. We'll take some music, and we'll get her back in just a few minutes to talk about that sleep. As it is, are you getting enough is the big question. That's woken you up, or maybe not. If you're not sleeping well at night, you might be nodding off. It is that sort of time of the day nearly when you do a little bit, don't you? It's not quite the end of the day, and maybe you did have a bad night. And we're discussing that with our resident medicine lady. That's Dr. Alex Bernhardi, who is a Douglasshire GP, has been for many years, taking a bit of time to do things like talk to us for a year or so. Good on you. Well done. Got a few projects on the go, haven't you?
Yes, that's right, Gary. Thanks.
Excellent. Now, we've talked about how much you need, and it varies on age and whether you're a newborn, teenager or an adult, and also best times to sleep and the mental clock, what happens. A lot more goes on in your sleep than I think most of us realise. What are some of the symptoms if you aren't getting a good night's sleep? What are some of the issues that can, you know, come about, should we say?
So the obvious one is that you feel tired if you don't sleep well, and you will struggle, you know, to focus on tasks and to memorize things that you're trying to learn. But it's also been shown that you actually are craving more food, and in particular also more junk food. And you can easily see where that leads. That leads to becoming overweight. That's partly also because another component of not sleeping enough would be that you also then don't feel like exercise. So that's a double whammy that will lead to weight gain. Another thing is that you are more prone, and I think I pointed that out just recently, that you will be at a higher risk to develop diabetes and heart disease and strokes. And that is because your fight and flight nerve, which also regulates the blood pressure, doesn't have a chance to relax during the night. So if you don't sleep, your blood pressure is likely higher than it should be when you are sleeping. And that is a cause for heart disease and strokes as well. Your immunity is lower, so you are catching, you know, lots of colds and flus, but also your mood can be affected. So for people who are prone to depression, if they don't get a good night's sleep, you will see that the depression might get worse as well. And obviously your cognition, so your mental sharpness, really, really suffers. So it's a lot of our known chronic conditions can be affected by not sleeping enough.
Obviously, a good night's sleep is very important. What can cause we've talked about stress as an example, and I mean, that's an obvious one. You've had a bad day, it may keep you awake a little while, but if you're regularly not sleeping, which again could be stress if you're in a day-to-day stressful job, but what are some of the sort of key causes of a lack of sleep?
So there can be a couple of medical causes, and I think if you seriously struggle with getting enough sleep, you should really get these things checked out. So you could suffer from allergies, breathing problems, as in, you know, a sinus condition, but it could also be that your thyroid is too active, or that you suffer from asthma, arthritis, or pain in general can keep you awake. But also certain medication can have insomnia as a side effect, such as steroids or also over-the-counter medication that some people take to alleviate symptoms of the common cold. So you should firstly make sure that you don't take any medication like that. But then obviously a big one, you mentioned the stress, and chronic stress is a real serious problem, and you should not take that lightly. If you feel you suffer from chronic stress, you do need to address that, because it really has health implications. But on a brighter side, there are lots of lifestyle factors that you can influence, and they are the most common causes for lack of sleep. And unfortunately, a couple of these things, you might find them a little bit hard to reduce, but it is just really important, and that is alcohol. So if you suffer from problems falling asleep, you should really limit your alcohol intake. Coffee and nicotine, so cigarettes, are both stimulants, as you would know, so you need to limit those as well. But also not getting up at roughly the same time every day has got a big impact. So if you tend to have 3 or 4 days where you sleep in like very long in the in the morning, and other days where you need to get up, that really confuses your inner clock. So you should always make sure that you, depending on your work requirements, that you get up at a certain time each morning. And when you have days off, don't extend your sleeping in over 1 hour. So if you normally get up at 6 at the weekend, still get up at 7.
See, I have this bizarre thing, and I know other people have it too, that during the week, and I'm sure it's a psychological thing, when I need to get up and I can't, but come the weekend, bang, I'm wide awake. So even it's just a strange thing. You mentioned certain things like alcohol. So the thought that, hey, I'm going to sit in front of the telly, have a few glasses of wine, that's going to help me sleep. Not the case.
That's not a good idea. And that is firstly because of the alcohol, but secondly, and I'm glad you mentioned that, the blue light waves that gets radiated from TV, computer, laptops, and also mobile phones, they interfere with your brain's ability to produce melatonin. And melatonin is a hormone that the body produces in order to prepare you for falling asleep.
Oh, so vegging out in front of the telly, that's a bit of a no-no. Or certainly the advice would be to leave a period of time. We'll talk about perhaps the ideal scenario in a moment. Maybe going to bed, and I'm sure an awful lot of people do it now. They get the phone out, the smartphone, check the Facebook, check the emails, just a final check, which may also click you back into work mode, of course, apart from the actual raise. So all those things, there has to be a little period where you've got to say, right, I've finished my day, I'm done, I'm going to relax before I hit the sack.
Yeah, 2 hours is what we think, sort of like your puffer period in between.
I think the term is sleep hygiene. So sort of summing up, good sleep hygiene, an ideal way to settle yourself in for the night. Give us a little brief summary of that.
So first figure out what is your required time to get up in the morning. Say that would be 6 o'clock because you need to be at work at 8 or whatever. Then calculate back 7 to 8 hours and you will find, you know, 10 o'clock should be your to-bed-go time. You should finish your dinner 2 hours before bedtime. So, like, finish your dinner at 8. You shouldn't have any alcohol, coffee, and cigarettes you shouldn't have anyway, but definitely not between 8 and 10 o'clock. And, as we said, absolutely no screen time 2 hours before you want to go to bed. And the blue light waves, they actually also get emitted by LED lights and fluorescent lights. So if you struggle with falling asleep, make sure that during the last 2 hours that you dim your lights, or you don't use LED or fluorescent lights and just something that is emits more, you know, red light. What also often helps is if you are lucky and you have a bathtub, go and have a nice warm bath. You can put some Epsom salts, which is basically magnesium, in there. You can also use a couple of herbs, which is valerian or chamomile and lavender. They all seem to calm your nervous system. You can either have those as a tea or as an essential oil. And then lastly, things like yoga, meditation, or even just really deep breathing has been proven to help a lot to facilitate that transition into sleep mode. But all these things, I mentioned that because obviously I'm a GP, always make sure with your GP that you check for any underlying medical conditions that you might not be aware of.
Getting back to some of those natural options that you mentioned, we talked about magnesium and the importance in terms of sleep just recently. Find it scary with the LED light thing because they are becoming more and more common in households, and obviously fluorescents have been around and are very common for a number of years. We always talk in some depth, and today has been no exception. Maybe just a very quick summary of what we've said in terms of how much sleep and the ways that we can just avoid certain issues.
So you should have 7 to 8 hours of restful sleep because it is really important for your health. And if you purposely cut down on that amount of sleep over any period of time, you will have a higher risk to develop obesity, diabetes, depression, heart disease, and stroke. So sleeping is more important in our lifestyle than many people think.
Certainly is. Well, an in-depth topic too, actually, and one that obviously if people are struggling with, need to address. And as you mentioned, see your GP, have a chat, get some advice. Doctor, medicine lady. Thank you very much, and we'll catch up with you at the same time next week for another in-depth chat on another topic.
Thanks for having me, Gary.